800-801-2730.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. And here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's the land of the free and the home of student drivers ready to back into your new fence at any given time. It's firing up a round of burgers and dogs on your rusty grill with a faulty gas line that engulfs your tool shed in flames. It's also around-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Her campaign in full swing. Democratic presumptive nominee Kamala Harris traveling to Indianapolis today, delivering the address to one of the nation's historically black sororities.
Part of the launch of her presidential campaign and a chance for her to pitch her message to a critical demographic for Democrats, black women.
We share a vision for the future of our nation, a future where every person has the opportunity not just to get by, but to get ahead.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delivered a fiery speech to a joint meeting of Congress, saying the U.S. and Israel must remain united as it works to defeat Hamas and Iranian-backed militants. He pledged to bring hostages home as he faces international pressure to end the war in Gaza. Protesters near Capitol Hill protested Netanyahu and his far-right government policies. And a typhoon in Taiwan is blamed for at least two deaths. This is ABC News. The College of William and Mary gets gifted with a big donation.
Virginia philanthropist Jane Batten has donated $100 million, the most ever in William and Mary's 331-year history. It'll be used to set up the Batten School of Coastal and Marine Sciences and help the Virginia University hire more faculty to continue research in the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. Coastal Virginia is one of the nation's most vulnerable regions to sea level rise, and William and Mary has seen more and more demand for new studies focusing on ways to adapt to more frequent flooding. Jane Batten's husband, Frank, was one of the co-founders of the Weather Channel. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
For the 10th time this year, North Korea is trashing its southern neighbor. More trash-carrying air balloons dumped onto South Korea's presidential office compound. South Korean military has been responding to the trash balloons by blasting anti-North Korean propaganda at the border. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. And here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Vice President Kamala Harris made a stop in West Allis Tuesday, her first appearance since President Joe Biden stepped aside and endorsed her.
The path to the White House goes through Wisconsin. Yes, it does. And to win in Wisconsin, we are counting on you right here in Milwaukee.
Harris was introduced by Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers, both of whom have endorsed her, as have a majority of the state's delegates before next month's Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Harris says she secured enough delegates to get the nomination. Wisconsin Republicans are moving quickly to contrast Harris and Donald Trump. In a media conference call prior to the vice president's rally, First District Congressman Brian Stile portrayed Trump versus Harris as almost a matchup of incumbents.
Vice President Harris is a continuation of the Biden-Harris administration. President Trump was obviously in office for 4 years. But when you contrast the policies, the contrast couldn't be greater.
Stile said Harris's role as President Biden's border czar has been a failure, and that the southern border is less secure than it was during the Trump administration. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is settling with a company over air pollution at a northeastern Wisconsin plant.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced on Monday that Carey Inc. is required to pay $85,000 to resolve a violation of Wisconsin's air laws related to its operations of the Carey Red Arrow liquid smoke manufacturing facility in Manitowoc. The state alleges that Carey Inc. violated multiple requirements of its air operation permit. The Wisconsin Legislators Joint Committee on Finance approved the resolution on July 9th. In Manitowoc, Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of sun and clouds today, as high temperatures climb quite comfortable right to those upper 70s. Alongside calm north winds, no chances of rain exist today. However, patchy fog may build in overnight as low temperatures fall to right near 60. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
And welcome in to another episode of Agriculture of America, AOA. Thank you for being with us here on the program as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have a great show lined up for you today. Coming up here in just a second, we're going to talk with Meredith Lee Hill from Politico about some of the mood in Washington, D.C., the impact it's having on the Farm Bill, appropriations, and much more. In segment two, we're going to have a conversation with Heidi Diestel from Diestel Family Ranch in California. And this is what I'm excited about. They have become the first certified, regenified turkey brand. We're going to learn more about that and have a sit-down conversation with Heidi in segment two. Then in segment three, we'll turn our attention to the cattle markets. Dr. Daryl Peel with Oklahoma State University is going to join us. We'll recap the latest on feed report and talk about some of the economics we're watching here and the fundamentals and technicals in the livestock trade, the cattle trade specifically, coming up here after the bottom of the hour. And then I'll have a look at some of the latest ag news headlines at the end of today's show. Let's kick things off. Joining us now here on AOA, Meredith Lee Hill, food and agriculture policy reporter for Politico. And Meredith, thanks for being with us here again on the show. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to start. I know last week at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, you moderated a panel for Politico with a ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, Arkansas's John Bozeman, and the House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. Talk about that panel a little bit, some of the things that you heard during that panel last week.
Yeah, I think they both Senator Bozeman and Chair Thompson are always very optimistic about the Farm Bill and the need to hammer out a deal in particular. But I think the piece to me was that they're both very clear-eyed about the challenges ahead, especially ahead of the September 30th deadline for the Farm Bill that's coming up after another extension we saw last year. I mean, they both basically confirmed there won't be any progress on a Farm Bill before that September 30th deadline this year. There's obviously all kinds of disagreement in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill about different pieces of the Farm Bill, especially funding challenges and policy priorities that the two parties are really at loggerheads over more than even in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Meredith. Sorry.
Oh, and so just interesting to hear from them. Really, the big takeaway is that everyone is watching November and the elections to see how that fallout is going to impact policy on Capitol Hill, who will have a majority in the Senate, the House, and who wins the White House. I talked to both Senator Bozeman and Chair Thompson. We're very optimistic that Republicans would have a very good chance of winning not only a majority in the Senate, but also retaining their majority in the House and very likely winning the White House with another Trump presidency. So they were very optimistic about what 2025 could hold for food and ag policy for Republicans, especially on the Hill. They're very interested in all kinds of kind of streamlining USDA and other regulatory pieces that they see ahead. But for the farm bill in particular, they're really interested in hammering out a farm bill potentially in 2025 that would see a significant increase in crop reference prices and the farm safety net. One of the pieces that Republicans and Democrats have been going back and forth about. Republicans are obviously very interested in boosting that as much as possible.
Well, I know as well, over 500 some groups have sent a letter here this week to congressional leaders calling for a new farm bill. But by the sound of it, it's going to be after this election and into next year, most likely we see some movement on a new farm bill. And I think a lot of that tied in as well, Meredith, of course, with the overall presidential landscape and the mood on Capitol Hill and with the attempted assassination of former President Trump and then President Biden stepping aside with Kamala Harris now, the presumptive Democratic nominee, it seems like. I mean, talk about that mood on Capitol Hill right now, because some of what I've heard is that all of this turmoil, uncertainty has really kind of ground everything to a halt, so to speak, in terms of what's happening or what's not happening on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also just the general mood on Capitol Hill is pretty tense at the moment. There's obviously a very hard push by Republicans in the House in particular to get a lot of their appropriations work done ahead of the August recess. They're going to leave just in the essentially the next few hours. They're going to leave for quite a long recess. So there's been a lot of tension trying to get these appropriations bills passed in the House. These are Republican-led bills that are pretty unanimously opposed by Democrats. And so Republicans really need every vote on their own side that they can get to push these through. And we saw last year, obviously, the agriculture and FDA funding bill that's tied together that had a lot of problems going back all the way to last summer, but it eventually failed on the floor after about more than two dozen Republicans banded together and voted against it for various reasons, including some Republicans who didn't like the cuts to agriculture programs. And so they're trying to work through that issue again. But this week, they came up with some of the same exact problems. And when push came to shove, they ended up having to pull that bill from a floor vote in order to keep it from failing again. So House Republicans in particular on the funding side have had a lot of challenges just trying to get through their kind of regular appropriations, their regular federal funding work. So that's been a real struggle for them on the Hill. And also on the Hill this week, as we're kind of getting closer and closer to the August recess, there's time running out for the Farm Bill and other policy efforts that lawmakers are working on. We've seen just immense jostling, kind of bickering between the two parties about the way forward on the Farm Bill in particular. Both parties understand that time is running out and really they need to show some progress ahead of the November elections, but that just isn't going to be the case. And so Chair Thompson told us yesterday that he himself was dealing with what he said was a meddling Senate Democrat over on the other side. He was referring to Senate Agriculture Chair Debbie Stabenow, who has tried to band Democrats together behind her own plans that are in essentially a major contrast to Thompson's. And so there's been lots of back and forth about the way forward, but really we're waiting until the November elections to see especially for the farm bill, what can be possible, if there's anything possible in the lame duck, or if it'll have to be in 2025. Obviously, 2025, everyone points out, is not going to be an easy year to tackle a farm bill. There's going to be lots to do, a major tax package, all kinds of things, other priorities for Congress. So fitting a farm bill in the early part of 2025 is going to be out of the question. So they'll have to fit that in potentially later in the year. One of the quick things that I did talk with Senator Bozeman about on the panel is I essentially asked him if the occasion arises where Democrats in the final days of November, December decide to essentially they want to make a deal for a slim down or a status quo farm bill without significant increases in crop reference prices or the farm safety net, you know, essentially what would his answer be? And his answer, he said that would be no, that Republicans, especially Senate Republicans, would want to wait.
Meredith, we're up against the clock. Meredith Lee Hill with Politico. Thanks for joining us here on AOA today. We appreciate it. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now here on the program, we are learning more about Diestel Family Ranch in California, and they are announcing they have become the first turkey producer to achieve Regenified certification. We're going to learn more about that and learn more about the ranch as a whole and some of the different practices that they have on their operation. Joining us for that conversation, she is a fourth-generation farmer at Diestel Family Ranch. Heidi Diestel is with us here today on the program. And Heidi, thank you so much for joining us and making the time. We appreciate it. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, just for starters, give us a little background on Diestel Family Ranch, if you can.
Totally. Yeah, we are. I'm fourth generation turkey farmer, and we are celebrating 75 years of business this year. So since 1949, the family, you know, has always raised natural and then, you know, certified organic products. We're kind of more on that natural wavelength, if you will, of how to do things. And it's really a vertical integration. So we're raising the birds, milling their feed, processing, and then, you know, direct marketing straight to the consumer or grocery store.
Well, it's exciting news that the ranch is the first turkey producer to achieve Regenified certification. Tell us more about the certification and what it means to you and your operation.
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, I'm so proud of my brother and the entire team for making this a reality. You know, it means a lot. It's really exciting. Regenified certification is one of the first to be recognized also by the USDA. And so, you know, it's a really big deal because we're making steps to really solidify what it means to be regenerative, and what those farming practices look like. And we hope that we're really setting the stage in poultry, for, you know, many more to follow. It's really a paradigm shift in the way that we are looking at, you know, our influence in agriculture, in the greater landscape of agriculture, and looking at how we can really not just have a really phenomenal environment for the birds and have a really good tasty product at the end of the day, but also leave the earth, right, a little bit better than how we started.
Well, let's walk through some of the different practices that you guys have in place on the ranch. And I know there's quite a few of them, soil health, stewardship practices, things like that, that we hear a lot about with row crop agriculture. But, you know, soil health, I don't hear a lot about that in turkey production. So, I mean, talk about some of these things and share some of what you guys do for us.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it really starts with the soil, right? And the soil health and the structure. So there's a few things. I mean, you know, the birds have outdoor access. We still use ruminants in our programming. So we still have, you know, goats and sheep and cattle that will rotate and graze through the paddocks along with the birds. And then, you know, we're still looking at the diversification of, you know, plants and ground cover, keeping that ground cover on our property throughout the growing cycle and during the rest periods. It's something that's very important. But as you kind of mentioned, and something I think that's very exciting, especially for poultry, is with the regenerative program and the way that Diestel views the regenerative program and something we hope to influence others to think about is we feel that poultry really needs to acknowledge where the feed is coming from. So, you know, out where you are, right, and all the row crop farming, the corn and the soy, we have a huge opportunity in poultry to impact the way that those commodities are coming to the marketplace. And so for us, that's a whole other additional layer in which we are looking and finding farmers in the Midwest to source, you know, the corn and soy from that are grown or certified regenified, and feeding that to the birds as well. So we almost get to double, you know, our square footage.
Well, and talk about why should it be important for other poultry farmers across the country to prioritize their soil health and maybe follow the lead of what you guys are doing there on your operation.
Oh my gosh. I mean, how much time do we have? I will say that, you know, the rate of desertification right across continents, I mean, this problem is so much larger than what probably you and I even understand. And we're super close to it because we see this every day. But, you know, to date, you know, we've made a lot of great strides in agriculture, but the system, the modern system, it's, you know, values over, you know, volume over values, right? I mean, it's super high quantity of product that is and yield that is required off of the land. But the value, right, that component of how are we leaving the land, what does that look like for future generations? What is the nutrient density of the food that we are producing today? You know, and that's diminishing at a really big rate. So, you know, we are just, agriculture is so powerful, right? I mean, one of my favorite jokes from when I was in undergraduate was, my undergraduate degree was, you know, where would we be without agriculture, right? Like naked and hungry, basically. So, you know, for us in ag, we have this huge opportunity to really shift with what the needs of our environment is, what the needs of the land is, be better land stewards, really care about the future of farming. We know that we have fewer and fewer people as a population invested in farming, knowing how to farm, right? The farmers are dwindling and dwindling. The few we have left, we really need to kind of gather together, almost like our last hurrah here, and shift the market and produce something that isn't just higher nutrient density, that isn't getting off, you know, the hamster wheel of chemical after chemical application, but also, you know, looking at the soil for the next generation. We really have to address this and do our part to support a healthier environment, you know, not encouraging a dust bowl, which is basically where we're headed.
Yeah, great thoughts, great insights. Where can people learn more about Diestel Family Ranch? And also, final thoughts from you, if you have anything you want to share or reiterate with folks today, Heidi.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I would just say, like, you know, I think one of the things we really want to just encourage people is, you know, have you considered where your food comes from? Have you considered the farmer behind your food, whether that's from produce or fruit or, you know, your meat, just really getting closer to knowing where your food comes from. I think that's a huge component of this. And then understanding, you know, regenerative dynamics. Take a look at Regenified Certified's website. You can learn so much about the principles of regenerative, which, you know, we didn't even scratch the surface on. You can learn more about Diestel and follow along in our journey, of course, at Instagram or, you know, our website, DiestelFamilyRanch.com. We really encourage you to just, you know, literally dig in and find more about where your food comes from. It's only with the viewer's support that we can continue to do what we do, and really push, you know, the next generation of farming to be better than it has ever been.
Well, and I think to summarize this as well, just to reiterate this point home, you mentioned it, you know, find out where your food comes from and, you know, all the work that's being done in regenerative agriculture right now and stewardship and soil health and in particular throughout agriculture. It's just so important, Heidi, because I think, you know, I like to say this at the end of the day, you know, our food doesn't come from the grocery store. There's people, there's hardworking people across this country who are helping to produce the food that we consume, right, Heidi?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And like, let's think about what our food can do for us, right? And that only happens when we're working with farmers, really, the people who are doing the work every day, right? We need to think about that nutrient density. There's a reason why we're more obese and, you know, more sick in this country than we ever have been, right? Like, let's start with really good quality food. And regenerative is a step, a huge step in the right direction for not just soil health and, you know, the kind of environmental factors that could provide us with higher nutrient density food, but just, you know, a real shining light for the future of farming and something we need to protect in this country. And, you know, we want to know, you want to know where your food comes from.
Absolutely. Well, again, folks can check out the Regenified website for more on the Regenified program, regenified.com. And you can follow Diestel Family Ranch on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, we appreciate the conversation. Heidi Diestel with Diestel Family Ranch, thanks for joining us here on the program and congratulations on that Regenified certification. And we'll look forward to having a conversation with you again in the future. Thanks so much.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Once again, great conversation, an interesting one that we'll have to pick back up again in the future with Heidi Diestel from Diestel Family Ranch joining us here today on AOA. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk cattle. We had a cattle on feed report that came out this past Friday that, once you dove into the numbers, it looked somewhat neutral to maybe even friendly. We're going to talk about that, though, and we're going to ask Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University if he feels the same way after looking at that latest on-feed number and much more. We're going to talk to Dr. Peel coming up next here on AOA. We'll be back on the way right after the break.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 16 to 2042, September up 24 to 2129, October up 7 to 2116, November milk up 2 at 2044. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mixed, higher in the nearbys but lower in deferreds. Feeder cattle mostly lowered, some lower box dib beef prices helping to pressure the markets, and also the better pasture conditions in the Western Plains are supporting this year's calf crop, and that pressured markets. Hog markets are mostly higher pork cutout values and higher consumer demand supported the market. August live cattle up 60 cents to 186.90. August feeder cattle down $1.62 to 257.12. August hogs up 12 cents to 93.77. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were mostly higher. Now, the weekly export inspections were expected to be in the 600,000 to 99,000 metric ton range. Meanwhile, soybeans mostly lower as the weather is not as stressful for much of the bean belt as at least initially thought. That pressured prices and also chart resistance as well. Meanwhile, wheat markets moved mostly higher as some of the wheat tour reports coming out of North and South Dakota do show some quality issues. New crop corn up 3/4 to 418. New crop beans down 11.5 to 1064. September wheat up 4.25.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on AOA, Agriculture of America, let's turn our attention to what's happening in the beef industry and the cattle markets. Joining us now for a conversation, we welcome him back to the program. It's been a few weeks since we've had a chance to talk with Dr. Daryl Peel, Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist at Oklahoma State University. And Dr. Peel, great to have you back on the show with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. It's great to be with you again.
I know you had some time overseas here last time I talked to you a little bit, and so hopefully you had some good travels, and now you're back home and looking at a cattle market that has been doing its best to kind of move higher here a little bit, or at least trade somewhat range bound and find some support. And I know we just had a cattle on feed report back on Friday. What was your assessment of that on feed report that we got here this month?
Yeah, you know, the July cattle on feed report, of course, the on feed total for July 1st came in at about 0.5% above a year ago. So we've been for several months kind of flirting with holding year ago levels on these on feed totals. The placement number in this report was lower than expected, about 93% of a year ago. And the marketing's number came in at 91% of last year. Some people have commented on that low marketing's number, but it's important to keep in mind in this report that we had two less business days, very unusual situation, but we had two less business days in the month of June this year compared to last year. So on a daily average basis, the marketing number was actually slightly higher than a year ago.
Well, I know, thinking about that report, it seemed like it maybe was at least neutral to friendly to the futures market. I know we found some good fundamental technical support here this week so far, but I know on the flip side of that, boxed beef prices have been declining a little bit, and I think that's had some folks a little nervous in this cattle market. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it's summertime is the biggest thing I would say. And so, you know, we're in the heat of summer, call it the dog days, whatever you want. And so it's not uncommon to see boxed beef drop back a little bit after the 4th of July. We got about a month here before we kind of gear up again for the last grilling holiday of the season on Labor Day. And so we're kind of in those summer doldrums a little bit. And I think all the cattle markets to a limited degree are seeing that, fed cattle markets as well, and even to some extent the feeder cattle markets, just kind of marking time here through the month of July, but really doesn't change, I think, the overall fundamental picture that we're looking at as we go forward this year.
Well, and thinking about this too, I know cattle have been looking fairly good here for some time, whereas, you know, we see the grain market has really pulled back, kind of fallen apart. Some folks have made the comment to me here in recent days that although cattle prices are still hanging in there at fairly good levels on the board and the cash trade's been fairly good, it maybe is not a market that you want to play chicken with, so to speak. I mean, I say that. What do you think about that? I mean, because we know that just the way that everything has been acting here across the grains, you know, the hog market got beat up for quite a while. Cattle, I mean, the other shoe could drop at any point, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, especially in the short run, you know, you can see a lot of volatility in these markets. Any number of outside factors can jump up and be an issue, and even, you know, kind of some corrections in the short run. But I think the difference between, for example, the cattle and the hog market is that we've got such strong supply fundamentals that are going to continue to drive this market. So it depends on a little on your perspective. If you're going to be making marketing decisions here sometime soon, or, you know, anytime you're getting down to the wire on making marketing decisions, then you got to pay attention to those short run things. Longer term, I think this market is in very, very solid, strong shape to move forward, not only for the rest of this year, but into next year as well.
I have to think for the feeders as well. Folks there got to be happy. I know a lot of row crop farmers not happy with the price of corn, but with some cheap corn down here, have to think it's a good chance to lock in some feed needs here, isn't it, Dr. Peel?
Yeah, you know, the cheaper corn this year has really helped feedlots a little bit again in the short run. Obviously, gives them a little more latitude to sort of chase ever-tightening numbers of feeder cattle. The longer term picture here is that, we're kind of seeing a margin squeeze in this cattle industry. The market is heavily focused on the cow calf level. So those calf prices are going to continue to go higher until we actually, incentivize some herd expansion. We haven't seen that yet. But in the meantime, the margin operators, whether it's stocker producers or feedlot producers, and even on up the chain, are going to see potential for some squeezes. Now, thus far, the market's kept up with that on the feedlot side, so they've enjoyed pretty good profitability up to this point, but it may catch up with them at some point.
We're talking with Dr. Daryl Peel, Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist at Oklahoma State University. Dr. Peel, thinking about export demand as well, what's some of your perspective on how things look there midsummer? I know some of the recent numbers we've seen from U.S. Meat Export Federation have continued to be pretty solid for both beef, pork, and lamb. What's your assessment of some of those export flows right now and how that could or could not help our markets right now?
Yeah, you know, in 2022, we set a new record for beef exports. We knew going into 2023 with the beef production starting to fall that we would have some headwinds for beef exports, and we did see exports pull back in 2023 and thus far a bit in 2024. All of that said, I would say that exports are holding up pretty well from the standpoint of beef in particular. You know, we're continuing to move. We do have the headwinds of, you know, some tightening of supplies, although we haven't seen the beef production drop as much as we expected so far this year. But, you know, higher prices domestically and combine that with a generally strong dollar, that's a headwind for exports. So I think we're doing pretty well on those exports. The opposite holds true for the import side. Tightening supplies, particularly of processing beef, is a strong incentive to bring in more imported beef, and we are seeing that. Again, maybe not as much as you might expect, but we are seeing some increase in beef imports.
You mentioned that hog market, too, and I think kind of weaving this into the overall demand discussion and some of the impact on markets, you know, I think for a time there, we saw folks that are maybe going to the grocery store, maybe still are, and maybe turning away from certain higher cuts of beef to cheaper alternatives like pork, chicken, lamb, et cetera, or maybe doing so at restaurants, at food service levels. And, you know, in terms of the hog futures market got really beat up here, but now starting to find some technical support. I mean, what are your thoughts on the hogs here a little bit and just some of that overall maybe movement to some other proteins, because the price at the grocery store could be a little bit too high for some folks?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the protein demand complex, beef, pork, and poultry primarily, you know, with beef supplies tighter, you know, certainly compared to the last couple of years, and record high prices. I mean, the reported retail prices for beef are record high. And yet, if you look at, for example, pork supplies, we've got lots of pork out there. There's plenty of alternatives that consumers can turn to, and I'm sure they are to some degree, but we haven't seen, you know, the kinds of impacts on beef demand that I think many people have feared, and maybe still do to some extent. We continue to watch it going forward. Again, we're kind of in the summertime now, so if you look at some of these high-end middle meats, they're a little bit weaker right now, but it's mostly just the time of year. We don't go to a lot of high-end restaurants in the middle of the summer typically. When we get into colder weather, we'll see that traffic pick back up.
Yeah, great thoughts. Dr. Peel, before we let you go, anything final you would want to share or reiterate to cattle producers listening in, or anything else you'd want to share with us here today you're watching in the livestock markets?
Well, you know, again, I think there's a long-term game here. You know, in the short run, people have to make decisions. So depending on where you're at in that, we've got some continuing concerns about the potential for drought redeveloping, given what the weather people are telling us. So I think producers individually are sort of making their plans about how to go forward in this thing. But at the end of the day, the market is really trying to tell us that we need to rebuild this beef cow herd. And, you know, thus far, we don't have any real data that says that we're retaining any heifers. Of course, we won't have good numbers for several more months, but nevertheless, there's no indication of it at this point in time.
Well, it's something we're going to keep an eye on. And I always enjoy the conversation and your perspective and insight on things going on in the livestock industry and in the cattle markets in particular. Dr. Daryl Peel with Oklahoma State University. Good to talk with you again, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll get you back on the show again soon.
Great to be here again. You bet.
Dr. Daryl Peel, Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist with Oklahoma State University, joining us here today on AOA. I always learn something new when I talk to Dr. Peel, and I appreciate his insight on things and his perspective. And I know this cattle market, it stayed relatively supported, kind of what we've talked about, at least on the future side, and be watching to see how this goes moving forward. A little bit of a mixed market tone on Wednesday in cattle, but also kind of seeing a mixed market tone really across the board on Wednesday after we started the week fairly hot to the upside. So we'll watch it, we'll track it, we'll keep an eye on things as we move forward. We've had a great show so far. Appreciate, again, Dr. Peel being with us. Heidi Diestel in that last segment. Meredith Lee Hill from Politico to open the show. We're not done, though. We're going to take a look at some of the latest ag news headlines. Got a few different things that we're tracking and keeping an eye on for you here across the country and throughout the world in terms of agriculture. We'll be back with news headlines and wrap up AOA on the way right after this.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
Hi, I'm Cesar Millan. People are always commenting on how happy and healthy my dogs are. One of the reasons is the food my dogs eat.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a premium freeze-dried raw dog food designed to support your dog's health, happiness, and lifespan.
Their jaws are more flexible, their teeth are cleaner, and their coat shinier. And why they seem more youthful even as they age.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. I've helped countless dogs thrive with one simple concept. Your dog needs a high-meat diet, similar to what their ancestors ate in the wild.
Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend using 50 years of nutritional research and experience, helping dogs make incredible turnarounds. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Crispies, their wild-caught, ultra-crunchy cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text GOOD to 511-511.
Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue today's program. Well, Canada is a top five destination for both U.S. beef and pork exports, but U.S. shipments are sometimes slowed by regulatory issues. The transition to the Public Health Information System, or PHIS, was intended to simplify this process. But as U.S. Meat Export Federation Director of Export Services, Courtney Heller explains, some obstacles remain.
Canada is one of our largest trading partners for both beef and pork. We value our relationship with that market extensively. Over the last couple of years, we've started to incorporate the PHIS export component, and the purpose was to improve and really shorten some of those interactions at the border to clear product more quickly in both directions. So PHIS was intended to reduce paperwork and human error. And when a system goes online, all of the paperwork, like letterhead certificates or testing requirements, go into that PHIS system, which allows the inspectors both on the USDA side and in Canada just see, sign, and process more quickly. We're finding that our electronic system is requiring paperwork, and that was not the intention. So we're working with Canada to streamline the documentation process.
USMEF is also working with industry partners such as the Meat Institute to eliminate other barriers for U.S. meat shipments to Canada.
We have found that some of our members have stopped shipping to Canada because of stoppages at the border. There's an effort underway now that was started by the Meat Institute in conjunction with their Canadian and American members to really address some of the slowdowns at the border that could be improved upon by reducing some of the inspection requirements or testing requirements. Our countries have virtually equivalent food safety systems, so some of our inspection processes could really be eased by just working together.
And once again, that's comments with Courtney Heller from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Well, in other USMEF news, the United Soybean Board recently met in Baltimore to set priorities for the upcoming year. Jim Douglas, a soybean, corn, and pork producer from Indiana, sits on both the United Soybean Board and the U.S. Meat Export Federation Executive Committee. He spoke at the USB meeting about the importance of their investment in exports through USMEF and other similar organizations.
Well, animal agriculture consume about 60%, 70% of U.S. soybeans, and so it's vitally important that we support that industry and vitally important that U.S. poultry and hog farmers remain profitable. Our export market needs to grow. You know, in the U.S., we depend on the export markets, and we need to grow them.
Douglas said the United Soybean Board support helps the U.S. pork industry take advantage of an opportunity to grow global market share.
I think that just shows you that we realize the value of exports. It's a necessity that we maintain those markets. We'd like to grow those markets. You know, the European Union is in a situation where they're cutting back on their exports. There's room for the U.S. to step in and pick those up. And also then, you know, we've got competition from South America with Brazil increasing their hog herd. So, you know, we've got competition, but at the same time, we've got tremendous opportunity to step in and take some of those markets that the EU was providing for.
Andy says the sustainability message of U.S. soy growers is a key marketing component of U.S. pork around the globe.
The U.S. label on these meat products is important, and it comes with a sustainable label. And I think people pay attention to that, and I think they respect the product of the USA very well.
And for more information on all the efforts going on with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, you can visit usmef.org to learn more. Again, that's usmef.org for more information. Well, the monthly update of the corn balance sheet from the USDA changed both new and old crop supplies. The agency increased usage by a combined 225 million bushels across the two marketing years. This is important, says University of Missouri Extension agricultural economist Ben Brown, because it nearly offsets the bigger corn crop farmers are expecting to harvest this fall.
It hasn't changed the underlying story, but has now created the opportunity that if we see a weather scare, we could see, I'm going to call it a 50 to 70 cent rally in the corn market, right? Like that's, you know, if a weather event were to transpire, this has allowed the market some breathing room to move higher.
Now, next month, the USDA will provide more guidance on the size of the corn crop in the United States when it releases the first crop production report estimate for the season. And if you think back to international headlines this spring, you might remember seeing French farmers riding their tractors not in the field, but in the streets of Paris. They were protesting the European Union's environmental regulations. France is the number one agricultural producer in the EU.
France is the first producer in the EU just before Germany. We produce mainly grains, and we are the main producers of wheat. And then after, of course, we produce meat, dairy products, and so on. But we are very well known for our grain production.
That's French Embassy Agricultural Counselor Christian Lazare, who says the farm-to-fork strategy for agriculture under the European Union's Green Deal aims to reduce pesticide usage by 50% by 2030. French farmers are not happy with agricultural policy.
For a lot of reasons, but probably the main one was the fact that they considered that the EU ag policy will want to go too fast. They need time to adapt the way they produce, especially in a more sustainable way, to fight against climate change. So they want to adapt the way they produce, but slowly.
He explains that growers cannot make those cuts in that time frame and still be profitable. Lazare says farmers in France embrace sustainability initiatives, but they are asking the EU to implement a more reasonable timeline to cut back inputs. They also want to see research on alternative pesticide solutions for them to use. They want more flexibility in research and developing policy. He offers an example.
For example, for the sugar beet production, our farmers expect to the research, from the research, from new technologies, an answer to fight the pest, to continue the production of sugar beet and to continue to be in Europe the first producer of sugar. Because if they can't use the banned pesticide, they want alternative solutions. And I think they're right.
And he says they do like the incentive-based voluntary approach to sustainability here in the U.S. With that, we're out of time here today on AOA. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Joe Kakish from Growth Energy, their general counsel, about some of the recent court cases surrounding the ethanol industry. And we'll talk markets with Tyler Schau from agmarket.net. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support.
Are you an annoying know-it-all? Answering questions no one asked of you? Do people often ask you, how do you sleep at night? Then you should go to Mattress Firm. They have knowledgeable sleep experts specifically trained to help match you with the right mattress, so anyone, even people like you, can sleep get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.